What's up, Tom?
Yeah, hi Chris, how's it going?
Yep, we're fine, thank you.
A report at the time says the pathologist believed that Joanna's skull was fractured by a fall rather than by a blow.
Yes, my thoughts on that, I mean, probably the weather at the time, we're talking about Christmas Eve 1992.
Yeah, it's horrible.
The ground would be quite solid, with penetrating ice.
Yes.
So with Joanna's skull as it was, it's quite conceivable that just a fall from standing to the ground would be sufficient to fracture her skull. And that then leads me on to the removal of the jeans and underwear. I've studied many cases, including the one of Wendy Sewell in Bakewell Cemetery in 1973, where Wendy was rendered unconscious before being undressed. And her trainers, her jeans, and her underwear were all removed without any marks at all on the body. So if you have a victim who's not struggling, there aren't going to be any marks on the body. So to me, that would suggest strongly that Joanna was already unconscious when her clothing was removed.
Sorry, did you say conscious or unconscious?
Unconscious.
Yes.
Yeah, to me, the clothing is strewn around, so it suggests to me if she'd consented, they would her underwear, her jeans, her trainers would all be in a pile very close to her body, not in different locations. So it suggests to me that she was stripped after which she was unconscious, and it suggests to me that she'd fallen to the ground and was rendered unconscious for that to occur without marks being on the body. And the removal of the jeans from the scene of crime, you've got to bear in mind that DNA came in about 5 years previously. It was still in its infancy, and to me it would strongly suggest, with not taking the underwear away as well as the jeans, that there was something, some contact from the offender on those jeans. So everything was found at the scene apart from the jeans.
Yeah.
But it suggests to me there was no DNA at all on any of the other clothing, and that's why it wasn't taken away from the scene. But there was, however, something on the jeans that would identify the culprit, and that's why they were taken away.
It doesn't seem that there's an intention to kill her.
No, I think it panicked at that point. What do I do? And then, obviously, knowing where the pit was, she was then dragged bodily to that pit and in the hope that someone might think she died of some other reason.
Right. Okay. That's interesting. And then why then tuck the shoes sort of neatly under a bush and then put the underwear and tights a few hundred or 100 yards down the road?
I think that was probably to give him time away from the scene of the crime, and if that was the individual seen by the or heard by the dog walker, that would suggest to me that he didn't finish what he intended to do, having returned to the scene of the crime at night. So to me, the crime had clearly occurred earlier than 11 o'clock, and 11 o'clock was when he was trying to get the jeans away from the scene, and got to bear in mind, you're talking about in pitch darkness in the end of December, so he would have very limited opportunity to find and recover everything from the scene. So to me, he wasn't clearly not interested in removing the underwear and the shoes, but just the jeans.
And he also returns to the scene on other occasions, police believe, to sort of cover her body up a bit more and all the rest of it. So he obviously has easy access to the crime scene.
Yes, everything that I've seen suggests the work of a local person. I don't think the crime was premeditated. I think it was spontaneous.
The pathologist told her inquest in June 1993 that her skull was likely fractured by a fall rather than a blow to the back of the head. She had a very thin skull and was knocked unconscious when she fell. But the man who would become her killer mistakenly believes she is dead.